Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 36 of season 2. This week we are studying 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 13. And this is our second week of studying the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And there's some really great truths in this week's reading that can help us improve our emotional and spiritual health. I want to focus on a few of these truths that I feel are related. And as they are combined together, they can help us prevail against challenges and learn to move forward. First, let's discuss a well-known verse. This was one of the 40 scripture mastery verses that I learned back when I was a seminary student in the 1980s. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and it reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." This scripture is reassuring because it states that with each temptation to do wrong, there will always be a provided way to escape. However, it doesn't always mean that that way is going to be easy, and definitely the way of escape is going to require action on our part. In Doctrine and Covenants section 58, verses 27 and 28, we read, "Verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause, and do many things of their own free will, and bring to pass much righteousness. For the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves. And inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose their reward." Because we have moral agency, the power is in us to make needed changes to our lives and to act in ways to avoid temptation. You might remember the example of Joseph of Egypt. So due to his diligent efforts, he had gone from being a slave to being master of Potiphar's home. This was a position of great authority and power. The only problem was Potiphar's wife lusted after Joseph, and she wanted to sleep with him. And she tempted him day after day with her requests, and he continually refused her. And finally, one day she arranged to have no one else in the house. She lured him to the bedroom and then grabbed him by the shirt, pulling him down to the bed. Now, this is a situation where Joseph could have easily succumbed, claiming that he was tricked or just saying there's no way to resist such a powerful temptation, yet he literally wriggled out of his shirt and ran from the room. So when God promises us that with temptation there will always be a way to escape, he doesn't say that it's going to be easy. And sometimes it requires all of our available strength just to accomplish the task. And as I've worked with people who have mental health issues, I often hear them comment about what they cannot do because of their emotional condition. And this could include things like maybe having no desire to do even small and simple things because of depression symptoms, or it could include being afraid to do certain other things due to anxiety symptoms. And I know these situations are difficult, and I'm not trying to minimize them, because oftentimes they can seem impossible when mental health symptoms are severe. But if we don't start by doing something, then we're going to remain stuck. And I've always taught that I think there's always something that we can do. The depressed person could decide simply just to shower and brush his teeth, or maybe even just brush his teeth for 1 minute. Maybe that's all he can do that day, but he did something. The anxious person could decide to say hello to one stranger each day. That's going to be uncomfortable, but it is doable, and it helps that person move forward. It's important to remember that as we are trying to improve and overcome challenges, the Lord will provide a way, but that way requires action on our part. Now, another one of the ways that the Lord helps us to overcome difficulties is by blessing us with spiritual gifts. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he lists a few of them, including faith and healing, prophecy, and the gift of tongues. And those are wonderful spiritual gifts, but the number and diversity of spiritual gifts far exceeds those that are listed in Scripture. Elder Marvin J. Ashton of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles referred to additional spiritual gifts such as the gift to ponder, the gift to look to God for direction, the gift to hear and use the still small voice, the gift to calm, and the gift to care. Elder Robert D. Hales of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles outlined even other spiritual gifts, such as the gift to curb or reduce anger, the gift to study, and the gift to listen. Elder John C. Pingree Jr. of the Quorum of the 70 referred to even more spiritual gifts, such as the gift of having compassion, the gift of expressing hope, the gift of relating well to people, the gift of organizing effectively, the gift of speaking or writing persuasively, the gift of teaching clearly, and the gift of working hard. You can see these gifts are just getting more and more diverse. And some spiritual gifts seem to be specific to certain situations. Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles taught that certain spiritual gifts attended students that were attending BYU Idaho. And he said these included the gift of smiling, the gift of learning without becoming arrogant, the gift of cheerfulness, and the gift of academic integrity. I love all these varied spiritual gifts because sometimes we think, well, I don't have a spiritual gift, but actually we do. We probably just don't identify it. And by giving us these spiritual gifts, the Lord provides additional support for us to be able to move past difficulties, and in addition to helping others navigate life challenges. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verses 9 through 12, it reads, "For verily I say unto you, they," meaning spiritual gifts, "are given for the benefit of those who love me and keep all my commandments, and him that seeketh so to do, that all may be benefited that seek or that ask of me, that ask and not for a sign that they may consume it upon their lusts. And again, verily I say unto you, I would that you should always remember and always retain in your minds what those gifts are that are given to the church. For all have not every gift given unto them, for there are many gifts, and to every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God. To some is given one, and to some is given another, that all may be profited thereby." Verse 11 teaches that every person has a spiritual gift. Most of us probably have multiple spiritual gifts. The problem is that we don't necessarily recognize those spiritual gifts. We don't see them for what they are. And I think especially as we struggle with mental health issues, then we have a more difficult time kind of seeing clearly. Another verse in this block of scripture that we're reading this week is Paul saying that we see through a glass darkly, meaning that our vision is a little bit obscured. We don't quite see things as clearly as we could, but it's through the Holy Ghost, and as we learn and understand truth, that we're able to see things more clearly. I think as we become closer to the Spirit of the Lord, our spiritual gifts will become more evident to us. And in verse 12 of Doctrine and Covenants 46, it teaches that the purpose of having all these different spiritual gifts is so that we can help each other. For example, if someone has the gift of listening and another has the gift of teaching, then when they get together, the teacher can use her gift to effectively teach the listener. The listener effectively listens and learns the materials from the teacher, which results in blessings for both of them. And as we noted before, one of the purposes of spiritual gifts is to help us cope with challenges and overcome trials. We can start this process by recognizing our spiritual gifts, then refining them through study and faith, and then using them to bless our own lives and the lives of others. And this stepwise process, repeated over time, will help us overcome our challenges and become more like our Savior Jesus Christ. I end my podcasts with an episode. I always end my podcast episodes with an invitation to act, and just invite you to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations would be good for you to do. So here's this week's invitation. Use the church's website or the Gospel Library app to do a study of spiritual gifts and write down some of the things you learn. I will also provide some links that would be helpful for your study on the worksheet that you can use. Then identify at least one spiritual gift that you have, and then write down how can that spiritual gift help you overcome emotional and spiritual challenges. I do have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement these weekly invitations. Like I said, this week's worksheet is going to have some extra information with some links on it. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter. You can find that link in the show notes. I also invite you to subscribe to the podcast, and please share it with others with whom you think it might be helpful. And there are written transcripts of the podcast, and you can find a link for that in the show notes. Thank you for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.